I want you to think about what you think human trafficking is. I'll bet you're thinking of a girl being snatched out of her car in a dark parking lot and being sold on the dark web, right? Hi guys, welcome back to The Missing Ones. I'm your host, Liberty Campbell. The human trafficking industry operates nothing like what you would think it does. It isn't just in the back rooms of massage parlors or creepy men purchasing boys and girls on the dark web. It's not your child being grabbed out of your shopping cart at the grocery store. Human trafficking has no preference for gender, age, race, or background. Today, I'm going to be talking about human trafficking, sexual abuse, and suicide. Please proceed with caution. Today's story is about Leticia Sereno. She was a bright and beautiful young girl from Houston, Texas. She had a large and loving family and had the world in front of her to experience and enjoy. But because this world is cruel, I got taken away from her. When Letty was 13 years old, she went missing. On December 19th of 2017, Letty was abducted from her middle school. Yes, her middle school. She wasn't in a back alley somewhere she wasn't supposed to be. She wasn't at a store with her mom when someone ran up behind her and grabbed her and ran off. She was at a safe space. She was at school. The family contacted police, obviously, and according to her godmother, Cynthia Riviera, they received very little help when it came for actively searching for Letty. Cynthia turned to social media. It was the only thing she could think of that would help bring Letty home. Now, the fact that the police did not get super involved in looking for Letty makes me think that she knew her abductor. Now, nothing I read or saw in my research said outright that Letty knew her abductor, but Cynthia does mention that he has a very active social media, and I'm thinking that he probably reached out to her via social media, gained her trust, and one day picked her up from school. Cynthia went to social media to help look for her goddaughter. She plastered Letty's face all over Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, you name it, Letty's face was there. A woman in the community reached out to Cynthia saying that there was an abandoned home in her neighborhood that was known for drug users, transients, and specifically human trafficking. She mentioned to Cynthia that Letty had gone through this home the night before and that this is where they should look if they want to find her. So Cynthia calls the police and they meet at this home, and her rescue is like out of a Law & Order SVU episode. Only Olivia Benson wasn't there and Stabler wasn't there. I mean, it wasn't as cool, I'm sure. That sounds super insensitive. Holy cow. When they got there, there were three men with Letty and only one of them was arrested. One of them was arrested only for drug possession and drug paraphernalia. That's what he was arrested for. It wasn't the 13-year-old girl who was drugged out of her mind, being drugged away from the home by two other people who were not even arrested. To make it even better, the man who originally abducted her was released 3 days later, after Letty was rescued. So even though Letty was rescued, this is not an episode of Law & Order SVU. He does not go to jail, she does not recover and be okay. This is not a happy ending. The road to recovery for Letty was extremely difficult. Letty ran away twice after being rescued to be with her captor. She was in inpatient recovery for over a year, and her family wanted nothing more than the bright and beautiful young girl back. The hold that her captor had on her was just too strong. Letty's quinceañera was supposed to be a turning point. She had been doing better, and the family finally felt hopeful that she was going to be okay, that she was going to pull out of this. But she just wasn't the same little girl. I don't know anybody that could ever be the same little girl after what she experienced. And like I said, this is not a happy ending. On October 13th of 2019, so a little over a year ago, Letty committed suicide. Letty locked herself in her bathroom and took her own life. By the time her dad broke down the door, it was too late, and she passed away in his arms, and I cannot even begin to imagine the pain that he felt, or the pain that she felt. And I think it's heartbreaking because the news articles from this specific incident, I think it's heartbreaking because the news articles show pictures of Letty celebrating her quinceañera in a beautiful red dress. She's grinning from ear to ear, and she looks like a normal 15-year-old girl. And she's not. She just simply could not get over the need to be with her captor. And I think that's the most heartbreaking and most frustrating part. The hold that captors have on their victim is like no other. They use drugs and they use their vulnerability. They use romance and love that isn't true. They use threats of photos and videos being sent around to people they know. I mean, they will use anything to control their victims, and it works. Obviously, it works. In an article from last year, Commander Jim Dale from the Houston Police Department Vice Division is quoted saying to Fox 26 News that, quote, "She was a victim, and somehow her cries fell through the cracks. And I think that's why it's so imperative that we get schools involved," unquote. Dale thinks that there needs to be more training in schools to help identify trafficking victims and abuse victims, just like Letty. There is training in the hospitality and the transportation industry, but our kids are kind of left in silence. The only problem I have with this is that teachers are already overloaded. I mean, they are already to the max, especially with COVID. I mean, it's a lot, and it's not the only solution. But it is something I think could really help. What I don't think anybody realizes is how big human trafficking in the United States really is. Micah Gamboa, the executive director of Elijah Rising, an organization that is devoted to ending sex trafficking, told ABC 13 News that Letty's story was unfortunately very familiar. And according to Gamboa, there are more than 300,000 trafficking victims in Texas alone. Quote, "Entire cities are becoming red light districts. It's no longer just a centralized or isolated issue. It's actually spreading across the nation," unquote. The family and myself want to know how this can continue and how this can continue to be under police radar. Why is nothing being done about these homes that are abandoned in Houston that are well-known areas for human trafficking and drug use? Because those things do go hand in hand. Now, that is not me saying that every drug user is a trafficker or has been trafficked, but they do go hand in hand. So what do human traffickers look for? According to humantraffickingsearch.org, traffickers, for the most part, don't care about sex, race, or age. They care about vulnerability. They look for people that are from low social economic backgrounds, homeless or runaways, cultural or ethnic minorities, immigrants, have a history of sexual abuse or rape or domestic violence. But basically, to put it in simple terms, anybody in any kind of shitty situation. What do traffickers look like? They look like you and me, to be completely honest with you. But if you want a real description, it can be someone who has a lot of money or someone who has very little money but still has like the finer things in life, if that makes sense. Rings can just be, I mean, they can be anybody. They can be family members or neighbors or family friends. They can be gangs, pimps, business owners, or human smugglers. The true reality is that it could be anybody. It could be your best friend Joe from childhood. I mean, it's not an isolated situation. So what can we do? That is something that has been a hot topic for a big portion of the year. What can we do about this human trafficking, specifically children trafficking? Well, I went online and I did a little bit of research. According to the humantraffickingsearch.org, we can know that it is happening, and it's not just in TV and movies. We need to listen and believe our children and friends who do come forward, because that's the hardest part. We need to know the signs of human trafficking, showing signs of physical abuse, avoiding eye contact or social interaction, malnourishment, scripted or rehearsed responses, lacking official identification, lacking personal possessions, tattoos or branding on the neck or lower back, spending time with older men and women and referring to them as boyfriend or girlfriend, or possibly daddy, which is slang for pimp, not being allowed to leave without a companion, or there are extreme measures to keep them wherever it is they are residing. Another thing we can do is know the signs of sexual abuse, because trafficking isn't always done by moving the victim. Sometimes the creeps come to the victims. Things like nightmares, sudden change in eating habits, mood swings, they want to talk about sexual things, sudden fear of certain people or certain places. They refuse to talk about a secret that they share with an older adult, and thinking of themselves as dirty or bad. I will be linking a list of all of these warning signs on our blog, but you should know it's about a mile long. I mean, it is not a short list. I'm just going to preach this really quickly because I just can't wrap my head around it. If someone comes to you and says, listen, I think I am being sexually abused, or I think I am being abused domestically, not even physically, mentally, emotionally, I don't care. If someone comes to you and says they think they are being abused, it is your job to believe them. I do not care if they have lied in the past. This is not a story about a boy who cries wolf. This is someone's life. I think back to Alyssa Turney, who is the reason I started this podcast. And in the Crime Junkies episode where they're talking to her sister, they mention that she told her teacher when she was a kid that her stepdad was molesting her. And that teacher did not do anything. She could still be here with us because a teacher didn't believe her or didn't care enough to report it. She's not. So, for hell's sake, I don't care what you think. If a kid or a friend comes to you and says, hey, I think I'm being abused, you listen to them and you help them. If you are unsure of the resources in your community, a Google search will help you. I almost guarantee there is a woman's shelter or a family support center in your community that you can reach out to for a resource. Please, please, please believe people. Just please. This is not a story about the boy who cried wolf. I'm going to end today's episode with that. Letty slipped through the cracks and she shouldn't have. And that's inexcusable. There's no excuse for that. I'm going to leave you guys with this today. If you expect human trafficking, call the toll-free number to the National Human Trafficking Resource Center at 1-888-373-7888 or text HELP or INFO to 233-733. If you suspect sexual assault, call the National Sexual Assault Hotline at 800-656-4673. Or if it is an emergency situation, call 911. And lastly, if you or a loved one are experiencing suicidal thoughts for any reason whatsoever, call 800-273-8255. And lastly, for anyone who knows me personally or impersonally, if you're just a random listener, you can reach out to me. I'm here. You can always reach out to me. You can reach out to me on Facebook or Instagram, or you can send me a text message, a Snapchat. I don't care. If you need me, if you need help, I will always believe you. Remember, guys, if you see something, say something. Have a great week.